thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here this evening. And by the way, my name is Brother Kim Arcega, and I'm the eldest son of Brother Steve Arcega, your missionary to the Philippines. Well, I just want to thank the Lord for many things, and thank the Lord for not only saving me and also calling me and putting me to the ministry, in His ministry. But I grew up in a Christian family that my dad is my pastor. But 12 years in my life, I thought that going to church with them, going to Sundays, Wednesdays, and going to church every day, I thought that I'm also saved. I'm also a Christian. But there's one Sunday morning that my dad is preaching. And his preaching is his topic is about Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And that time I found myself coming to the altar and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Until you realize that you needed a Savior in your life. You know what? Religion cannot make you saved. It's not Baptist cannot make you saved. It's not good works. It's not everything. It's not because your mom and dad are Christians. It means that you're also a Christian. But I just want to tell you that there's a Savior, that you need Him in your heart, that you need to accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior. And it's personal. Salvation is personal. And that time, it's never been the same. And after I graduated in high school, the Lord called me to enter into the Bible college and to learn about His Word. And about a year, God opened the doors of opportunity for me to come over here in your country to further my studies in Marietta Bible College down at Marietta, Ohio. And by the grace of God, I already finished my schooling. And right now, I only have less than a month to stay here in your country. And I'm just so excited to go back to the Philippines to start a new mission work and for the glory of the Lord. And I'm just so excited to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and teach and share about salvation, about the Lord has done in my life. And I just want to ask your prayer. And please do pray for us as we go back to the Philippines in September the 4th to start a new mission work in one of the places in the Philippines called Santa Maria Moncada Tarlac, Philippines. And this place is just a very small town that the people are needed the Savior in their lives. I believe that God is still in the business of saving souls. And God is not done yet in our lives. As long as God called someone to do His work, you should not deny it. You need to do it because it's the Lord's work. And I just want to thank the Lord for your help and your prayers, and especially for your support in the ministry in the Philippines. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, God knows how faithful we are, and God knows your heart. And I believe that if you trust in God, you know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything shall be added unto you. And you know, your labor is not in vain, the Lord. And just keep on continuing, helping and supporting missionaries all over the world. And I just want to say that, include us in your prayer, and we're just so excited to go back to the field and preach about Jesus. And tell them how Jesus loves them, how Jesus wants them to be with Him someday in heaven. And are you not grateful, thankful that in every soul that God, will God save in the Philippines, and you have a part of it? Because the blessing is we serve the same God. The God that we're serving in the Philippines is also the God that you're serving here in the United States. And the God that saved us there is also the God that saved you here. And someday in heaven, there's one brown skin or Filipinos that will come to you and say, thank you, because of your help and your support, I got saved. And I just want to thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here. And please do pray for us as we still have less than a month to travel. I believe that God will provide everything before we put our step in the Philippine island. And thank you so much, and God bless us all. I will call my friend.
Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I am just thankful for the opportunity that we have to stand behind this podium, and you know, just to share our hearts to you, it's a blessing to us. I am Nathaniel Tabugan, and I'm a missionary to the Philippines. I just want to share to you about the mission work that we've started there in the Philippines. Well, actually, it was started by my grandpa, and they started it by the year 1973. And along the way, God blessing us so much in that ministry. Because in 2004, they started a vision, and they called the vision 2020 Vision. Meaning to say, they are going to build 50 Bible-believing churches by the year 2020. And, you know, 2006, I became a worker of this vision. I became one of the worker in this vision. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this vision, you know. Because I've seen God, how He blessing this ministry so much. Because by the year 2014, they already reached the goal. They have 52 Bible-believing churches in our hometown in Tarlac City. And I am here that time when I heard the news, the updates of our ministry. And I'm so blessed. And that makes me excited to go back home. You know, they did not stop. In 2015, they held a meeting in a place in one place in Tarlac City, and they held these 52 Bible believing churches, and they have more than 3,000 people in that ministry, and that's really blessed my heart. And from there, they did not stop to the vision. Instead of 50 Bible-believing churches, all of the pastors and missionaries that started to this mission work, they prayed for a double portion. And they prayed for 100 churches by the year 2020. It sounds impossible, amen? But you know, God is in control of everything. If His will, He will do, amen? He will do the work, amen? If you are just allowing God to use you, following His steps, He will use you in a mighty work. Amen. Right now, I am thankful because they have more than 70 Bible-believing churches in that city, in just a small city. But you know, I thought God is calling me to that place. After I graduated here in this country, in my schooling, I thought God will bring me back to that place to be a part of the vision. But God called me in different place. And the place was called Abukay Bataan. Please include me in your prayer because I'm just a young boy. Going in different place, I don't know what will happen. And I still have fear, but I'm just trusting the Lord in my life, that God will use me in that place. Because I never been to that place. But my vision is, in 5 years' span, I will be able to build one church. And my heart desire, after 5 years, if the church serves self-supporting already, I may able to build 3 churches around that main church. And in 10 years' span, I will be able to have 4 churches. Please include that in your prayer, that God will use me mightily. You know, I'm just excited to go back in September 4, next month, and to do the work of the Lord. Because I know God already prepared those souls in the Philippines, in that place. I never been to that place, but I'm just trusting the Lord because I know He is already there. He is just preparing the souls that will be get saved. You know, if you grab one of my card later, and if you just say a prayer to God, help this missionary, use this missionary, you will be a part of our mission work there in the Philippines. The work that I will be starting. You know, when you started praying for me, did you realize that the work of the Lord will work in 24 hours in one day? For what reason? While you are sleeping here, I am working there. And while I'm sleeping there, you are praying here. Amen. you are working here. And the work of the Lord will work 24 hours in a day. And thank you so much. May God bless you all. Thank you, sir.
Well, brothers, we're glad to have you, and thank you for sharing with that. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you. Yeah, we can do we'll do a love offering in the back. So if anyone has an opportunity, definitely will. Thank you. All right. Tonight, I want to take a look at grace. There's all different aspects of grace. Grace is like a diamond; it has many different facets. There's common grace, which keeps the whole world from its most wicked possibility. Rain falls on the crops of the wicked as well as the godly. There's the grace that God extends us that we can be saved. And then there's the grace that he gives us when we face impossible circumstances and somehow miraculously he pulls us through. And that's the kind of grace I'd like to focus on today. And the question I want to ask you today is, have you ever been knocked on your back so hard by a circumstance in life that all you could do is cry out to God for help? I'm talking about the kind of pain and suffering where there's no intellectual knowledge that can help or comfort you. The kind of blinding pain or fear that you feel when your only thought is to get it to stop. If you've ever been in that kind of situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you have experiential knowledge of it. And you know that God can get you through impossible situations. If you're fortunate enough to not have gone through a situation like that, chances are that at some point in your life you will go through something like that. So I want to look at some biblical examples of this kind of fear and this kind of crying out to the Lord. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. The Bible says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch as that ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? With the disciples there, they were afraid for their life. They were crying out. They thought they were going to die. I don't know if anyone's ever been in a boat or seen Deadliest Catch where the waves are just crashing over. I mean, people die in those situations all the time. So the disciples, they went beyond that just stoic, I'm just going to face this out and gut it out. They were afraid for their lives, and they were crying out to Jesus. They thought they were going to die. So they were crying out. Another example is in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 32. It's a familiar story. Matthew 14, 22 to 32. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray. And when that evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking onto the sea. The fourth watch, there's a little bit of different theories on the fourth watch of the night. Some say it's 3 a.m. Some say it's just before dawn. But you know, regardless, the situation is you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night. Has anyone ever gone swimming at night or been in the water at night? It's a weird feeling. It's scary. So this is the time that when things are going on here. The fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch of night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. So they're crying out again. This isn't just a small amount of fear. They're crying out. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, as I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, where did thou doubt? And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. So this is the kind of imminent danger, fear, suffering I'm talking about. When we leave that zone of being stoic and just trying to face the thing and, you know, kind of waiting on the Lord intellectually, I know everything will be all right. It's getting beyond that. It's getting to the point where we're like a frightened child, crying out to God and clinging to God. And the Bible encourages us to come to the Lord, come to the Lord like a child. Let's look at Mark 14, 32-36. It's an example of the Savior himself. Mark 14, 32-36. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to the disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. If you think about that, if you're being so sorrowful that you're unto death, I've never experienced that kind of sorrow. And it also talked about, late in other verses, it talks about Jesus actually sweating like drops of blood. And that's a physical reaction that someone can have. It's extreme stress that would cause that sort of thing. So it just gives you an idea of Jesus' mindset and the amount of pressure that he was under at this time. He's about to take on the sins of the entire world. He knows he's about to face a horrific death. He knows he's going to get beaten and everything else until he gets to that time. It says, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You know, this idea of Abba, Father. Some people say that that means daddy or something like that, but he is calling out to his Father. He's calling out to God and saying, please take this situation away from me. Doesn't want to go through it. You know, he knows he has to go through it, but does not want to go through this. So this is the kind of things I'm talking about. The Bible encourages us to do just that, to call out to the Lord like a child. If you look at Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto them and said, Suffer little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. An infant doesn't have some kind of hidden agenda or malice. He isn't trying to run on his own strength. He just knows that he needs what he needs. He's crying out to the Lord. He's hungry, he's scared, whatever it is. He just wants what he wants, and he's trusting that his parents will protect and provide for him. And in Galatians 4:6, it also, in the New Testament here in Galatians, Galatians 4:6. It talks about the same thing. Paul talks about the same thing, calling on God like a dad. It says here, 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So just this idea of, you know, as adults, we, you know, and especially as Americans, you've got this you know, I need to be this, you know, island unto myself, and I can handle anything, and I've got this, you know, rugged individualism, whatever else it is. That's not the kind of faith that God's talking about. It's calling out to Him and crying out to Him and everything else. And once we're faced with a situation that's that bad, we're going to do just that. It's not like we have a choice. When we get into those real hard times, we're going to do it anyway. This doesn't mean we get to play it safe and just sit outside the arena and observe. God does not want us to be paralyzed by fear and to sit out the battles kind of locked up in our room. He wants us to trust Him and be of good courage, but He wants us to cleave to Him and not to our own strength or intelligence or whatever else is we think we have. He wants us to fight the fight, but He wants us to do it fully reliant on Him. Even if we do try and do it in the flesh, once life roars back at us or knocks us flat on our back, we realize how little power we have and how reliant we are on God. I want to be clear, it does not mean that we go out in life reliant on God, that things are always going to work out for us. We all love like the huge one-sided victory stories, like Elijah on the mountain when God burns up the altar and Elijah mocks the prophets of Baal, and all the righteous Israelites rush in and kill all the false prophets. We like the one-sided victories. We like to know that, hey, everything's going to turn out and it's going to be great for us. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We love those stories. But the chances are our stories will have less earthly victory and will require more grace from above. The Bible has many examples of believers going through all kinds of situations with various outcomes. Let's look at some of the ones in which grace of God was necessary to get the believer through. If we start out with Paul with the thorn in the flesh that he asked God to remove. If we turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul knew, if we think this through, there's every intellectual reason for God to remove whatever hindrance Paul had. Paul was the most effective Christian missionary in history. He was completely sold out for God. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. If there was ever someone just to, you know, give everything you could and let him go and run full blast for the Lord, it was Paul. And that's our thinking. That's how intellectually, yeah, give this guy what he needs. Let him go do what he's got to do. And that's how we reason things out. But our ways are not God's ways. If we look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this idea, God absolutely has the power to give us any outcome he wants. But just as he stated in the Isaiah passage, his ways are higher and better than our ways. We can't get into the mind of God and predict what he's going to do. We can pray and petition for an outcome. But along with it, we should always pray for the grace to get us through. All right. Our next example is Stephen. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts 7, 54 through 60. You're all familiar with the Stephen speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit. Had just gone through a whole, basically, history explaining how Jesus is the Messiah. And this is the reaction that they had to that. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus." And when they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I think this is an amazing example of the hand of God being on someone, giving them a miraculous amount of grace. There's nothing but beauty in this picture of Stephen. It says that he was a righteous man. He was speaking pure words of truth. And if we look at the situation intellectually, we would think that there should be an instant revival and that, you know, all the Jews and the Pharisees and the people should lift Stephen up on their shoulders and carry him around the city. But instead what they do is they gnash on him with their teeth and smash him and kill him with stones. I'm not an expert in Middle Eastern traditions. They have some weird traditions. They've got ones where, you know, put your hand under my thigh for an oath. You know, it's strange to us as Westerners. It's not something we do. But as far as gnashing on someone with your teeth, that's not a custom. That's demonic. You've got a man who's speaking under the leading of the Holy Spirit, and all you want to do is kill him and cause him as much pain as you can before he dies. That's evil straight from hell. It kind of enrages you just to read it. And it's similar to what they visited on the Savior. I know if someone ran up and bit me and threw stones at me, I would be full of hate. I'd be full of cursing. I'd be, you know, I wouldn't have that kind of grace, whether I deserved it or not. But God's servant, Stephen, who knew this was the end for him, that he would never get out of the situation alive, that his body would be destroyed, that he would never get to see his earthly loved ones again, this side of heaven, was full of the Holy Ghost and looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He asked forgiveness for the satanic beasts who were killing him. It's an unbelievable measure of grace. And if you notice all these, something about all these stories is what each person is focusing on. The disciples in the ships, they were focused on the waves, they were focused on the storm. Peter was focused on the impossibility of walking on water and the wind and the waves. Jesus was focused on following the Father's will. Paul was focused on the afterlife and the reward for his work here on earth. He had already been brought up into the third heaven and had seen the glory that was waiting for him. And Stephen was focused on the glory of Jesus Christ. If we think about the different layers of grace that are involved in these stories, God first gave grace that these men could be saved and follow him. Then he gave them the grace to withstand the affliction they were under. And then on top of that, they will surely receive the incorruptible crown for the faithfulness of their work, the crown of rejoicing for the soul winning they did, the crown of life for the suffering they endured, the crown of glory for their preaching and teaching of the word. So both of these men were vessels for the Holy Spirit to speak through, and both left an amazing legacy, and it's all a result of grace. And Paul and Stephen, they didn't start out being sold out for God on the day that their suffering came. They were living a lifestyle that was sold out for God, so that when their day of calamity comes, they were ready. They knew the scriptures. They had their flesh and their worldly appetites under control. We hold no illusion that they were sinless, but the Bible pulls no punches when it comes to talking about people. There's no Bathsheba story or drunken Noah story or angry Moses story. The Lord points out the flaws in people in the Bible, but there is no story like that. These men were sold out for God, and they were about God's business, and they spoke under the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they were walking in grace in impossible circumstances. One of the things I want to end with here is I try not to interject myself into too many stories or too many lessons in the Bible, or, you know, when I'm giving a sermon or a lesson. I always want to focus on the book, and I always want to, you know, the story of whatever I'm going through or something I've been through, if it's relevant maybe, but for the most part, I try and focus on the book. So a lot of times what happens with that is it becomes kind of an intellectual exercise. You know, I'm doing a word search, or I'm, you know, just studying something out. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't give kind of a testimony today and about just some of the ways that the Lord has been working with the last few months with me. Many of you know that my mom has got cancer. And when she first told me, she said that she would not be living to see Micah grow up. And when I first heard that, it just completely wrecked me. Just unable to deal with that. Monday, I was with her in chemo treatments. And just to see her, I've seen her throw up and retch, you know, over the course of 10 hours, probably 500 times. And crying and, you know, just saying, I don't want to do this and all these other things. All you can do is pray for grace in these situations. And so this is an experience where I got to experience God's grace. He gave me grace to cope with this. He gave my mom grace to get through something. I wouldn't have wanted to have gone through that. I couldn't have gone through that. But it's as a testimony, God has gotten us both through that. I'm able to function as a direct result of the grace of God, and she's alive right now because of the grace of God. So like I said, this isn't just an intellectual exercise. This is kind of a life experience. And before I go to take prayer requests, I'm sure everybody in this room could give a story about how the Lord took them through an impossible situation. But I wanted to just open it up to testimony if someone feels led, if someone would like to give a testimony about God's grace in their life or them taking them through an impossible circumstance or anything like that. If anyone feels led, not necessarily, but if anyone feels led for a testimony, then feel free. Paul. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone else have anything they want to add? Joe? Thank you. Anyone else have anything they want to share before we take prayer requests? All right. We'll go ahead and do any prayer requests anyone's got.